Welcome to another episode of Free Basketball. I am your host, one Mr. Ryan Meadows, and triumphantly returning, the return of the king. That was about all of my movie line knowledge that I know in a return of a king of some sort. Cody Holsey.
I've never watched Lord of the Rings.
Cody Holsey is back. How have you been, sir?
I've been good, man. You know, just rocking around the Christmas tree, as they say.
Yeah.
Pick up basketball today.
Pick up basketball. We'll get to that in a second. So, you know, last week did a couple solo pods talking about March Madness. And now we're back into the NBA. This, you know, the first week of March Madness, it's really like a 3 or 4 week hiatus from the NBA for me. And especially for us as, you know, Grizzlies fans, we've kind of needed a 4 or 5 month hiatus from NBA basketball, but we're back in it. So there's not going to be no more college basketball stuff. It's all NBA from here on out because we're 8 to 9 regular season games left before we actually get into the playoffs, which we know we're not going to be rooting for anybody this year, but it's an exciting time in the NBA. We get to see where all the standings shake out. We're not going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about a bigger picture kind of thing, which we didn't prep each other on this, just mentioned the topic to each other. So curious what our thoughts or individual thoughts on it are. And then another thing from which we're basically kind of stealing slash maybe not complaining, but blasting another podcast segment that we heard that is a national podcast.
So, yeah, we're aggregating.
That'll be kind of,
we're aggregating.
Aggregating, yeah. That is a key word that is said on this platform by this gentleman. So we'll aggregate the aggregation. So you might know where we're heading with this a little bit, but that's going to be more Grizzlies focused and how quickly people forget about teams and franchises in general. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But first, before we get into the hot topic, you slightly mentioned you played pickup basketball. First, how long has it been since you've played pickup? And second, did it go well? And third, are you like, is your body intact?
First question. I was trying to think of the order that you asked those questions. The first question, about a decade. The second question, it did go well. The third question, what was the last part?
Is your body intact?
Slightly. So I'll set the stage. This wasn't like 5-on-5 full on like pickup basketball. This was me and my neighbor went out to like there's like this church near our house that has some basketball goals. So me and my neighbor went out there and he brought his daughter. And then this other kid just heard the balls bouncing and showed up. So we were just shooting around. And then when he showed up, the other kid, we decided we'd play 2-on-2. So it was me and this kid we'll call Peter. And then it was
his real name, or are you protecting his real name?
I don't know.
Oh.
Maybe it was his real name. Maybe it's a pseudonym. The world may never know. Then my neighbor was out there and his daughter, and they were on a team, and then it was me and Peter. We decided we were going to play by 1s and 2s. I made the three-point line far enough away that it wouldn't matter. I was like, we're never shooting a three. Peter tried a couple of them, though. He was close. Peter was a great teammate. Let me tell you what. This kid, he understood he kind of understood like a give and go. He would pass me the ball. He would do the give part. And then he wouldn't go. But eventually what I started doing, because I didn't care if we won or lost, was I just started passing the ball to where he should be. So like
he figured it out.
So like eventually he was passing me the ball. Like there was a couple times where he'd pass me the ball and I just pass it to where he should have just kept running to. He also didn't understand like a screen. I'd try to do some dribble handoff stuff with him. So to like create some space, cause he liked to shoot. So I was trying to like make space for him to shoot a little more. It didn't work. I did throw the basketball between my neighbor's legs one time. I did that on purpose. He was guarding me, and I kept trying to get him to face me up like 90 degrees so I could just like pass it between his legs to Peter. It worked about 70% of the way. But
so, question begs,
I gained the nickname.
Was...
No, nobody was good at basketball on the court.
Yeah.
I was
what
definitely.
Was the nickname?
I gained the nickname Sneaky D while I was on the court.
Why Sneaky D?
Because I have active hands, I think.
Okay.
I kept jumping passes.
Sneaky so today D.
The team was Sneaky
did
D.
Did
Peter
give you that name?
No, Peter did not. My neighbor did.
Oh, okay.
It's like, you keep coming through with all this Sneaky D. Like, whoa.
Your daughter's here.
Whoa. And then we both just started laughing. I was like, oh yeah, Sneaky D and Peter.
Which it may or may not be Peter.
You never
so
know.
His actual name was Sneaky D and Richard. Even funnier.
No, it was Peter. But it was a good time. We played some basketball. We won like 11-5.
Yeah. And you only played one game? That was enough?
Yeah, by the end, like, by the end, I was just, so, by the end, like we had such a comfortable lead. It was like 9-2.
Yeah.
And so, I just started trying, I was trying to get Peter to just, like, score the last, like, bucket. So, I just kept driving and, like, kicking it out to him and trying to find him, like, just, like, way open. But then what would happen is they would just, everybody would go, when I'd pass the ball to Peter, they would overcommit to Peter, and Peter would just give the ball back to me under the basket for the last couple of buckets. Mm-hmm. So I had to get him then. But we were, you know, playing around there for a little bit. It didn't work out.
Okay.
They scored a little more than we had originally anticipated, but we eventually finished them off.
Well, I didn't know if by the end of this one game to 11, it felt like playing in triple overtime.
It did. It definitely, by the end of the game, I was dying. I was like, every shot from me and my neighbor, like, we're like real adults. Every shot from us was short. I was like, laughing so hard every time we shot, because it would just be like front of the rim, nothing at all. And like, we're not shooting from far away.
Yeah.
Like, we're shooting like, you know, middle of the paint, like maybe, you know, like 8-12 feet, you know, 18 footer is like the longest that we're like shooting. Like one time somebody hit like a pretty far away shot, and I said, that was a really good free throw.
Old Pete,
like,
and
that's how
1-0.
Yep. It was a great time. Yeah, I'm gonna probably be playing some more basketball this spring and summer. It was a good, it was a fun exercise.
Exciting, man. This next subject, maybe at the next matchup, we can set some lines. Because that's what we're going to talk about, is not necessarily the Jontay Porter aspect of the betting scandal itself. If you follow the NBA, then you've probably seen the news of this. If you haven't, if you don't follow the NBA, it might have just crossed your timeline or something on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, Jontay Porter, they investigate him for some suspicious gambling activity regarding his prop lines, which kind of begged the question, which I know a lot of people talk about this. And I mean, I doubt you're going to find, like, we're going to be able to come up with anything new and fresh, but I do want to get our opinions on these, because I don't think we've actually talked about this before, since, you know, gambling has become legal in a good amount of states now. I don't remember what the number is up to, but, you know, it's not really taboo anymore to talk about it. And now it's become more prevalent online, on TV. Like, it's mentioned even in games. NBA's partnership up of it. They've got it on their league pass on the side, on the menu, to kind of see live scores and updates. Like, we're watching the Grizzlies game tonight on Bally Sports Southeast or whatever that is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a
they give the live lines and they give the live stuff from halftime, and you know, they have a parlay and all that kind of stuff. So it is everywhere now. So you're probably not going to get a brand new bold take, but we haven't personally discuss this between ourselves, how we feel about it. So I guess first off, I mean, in general, how do you feel about the NBA and pretty much every other professional sport going this kind of route where it's so in your face, it's sponsored by every sports book that's out there. What is your initial thoughts? Do you care? Does it bother you? What do you think?
It doesn't really bother me so much as it is a what do you expect kind of thing.
Yeah.
When there's that much, I'm on ESPN's website right now. So ESPN Bet is in the headline. I've got some Zaxby's at. So, I mean, this thing kind of knows me. But all over the place, there's all kinds of stuff about, there's different, click-throughs to different, different stuff and things like that. I don't know. ESPN is just, everything is sponsored. If you turn on ESPN, I also have, Hulu pulled up here. It's quietly playing. It's muted. But, I can see, what's on ESPN. And, every third commercial is for a sports book, like you're saying. So,
yeah,
if you're going to advertise that stuff all the time, and you're going to have those guys that people are betting on, and they're not getting any part of that. I think eventually you're going to have people be like, oh, well, I'm not feeling great tonight. Let's put some money on the under.
I'm going to tell a couple of buddies.
I'm going to tell some friends that I'm going to tell a couple of my friends that I have the flu. And if one of them happens to go down to the sports book and drop, $10,000 on that, good for them.
Yeah. So I guess, I'm with you. I don't care.
I don't think, to be clear, I don't think that players should be betting on themselves and stuff like that. I don't care if players gamble on other sports or stuff like that, things that they're not involved in.
Yeah.
That's fine. But I don't if you're a receiver, you shouldn't be betting the over or under your yards.
Well, I think we're both fine with just the general idea of it sponsoring things. We know it's in your face. I mean, we get that part. I guess the more interesting part that I do want to ask you is about the player part, because the Jonte Porter thing, I mean, he's not he's on the Raptors because the Raptors are trying to tank. We are familiar with him as Grizz fans because he was with the Grizzlies for a year and a half, or maybe not even full year, whatever it was. So this guy's not really going to be an NBA player. He just is this year to fill a need that Toronto needs, is that they have to put bodies out there, but they have to lose. And so Jonte Porter is just a lose machine. So he plays, or he has started to play later in the season when they really start going for the tank here to protect their pick. But do you really, you mentioned you don't think players should be betting on themselves. Is that actually a moral issue? Why shouldn't they be able to?
So,
is it just for the sake of the integrity of the league?
If you have guys that are I know I'm going to be because if you have guys that are for instance, Jonte Porter's on a two-way contract. So he makes less money if he has to go play in the G League, and his salary is $415,000, right? So that's not very much for the NBA, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything about it, but of course you're going to have people, when there's that much money in gambling and making not that much in comparison with everyone else, when they look around the table and they see what everyone else has versus what they have. Yeah, they're going to be oh, here's a quick thing that I can do to make some extra cash if I need it. I think it's an inevitable thing, but I don't think that, I think if you're going to bet on yourself, then you should have to bet the over.
Yes. That's a good point. Yeah,
Like,
I don't think
if you're gonna bet
because
on yourself, then like bet on yourself. You have to, you think you're gonna exceed expectations. Like, you can't be like, well, I think I'm gonna suck tonight. 'Cause you could just walk around with your hands in your pockets.
yeah, and
The Monstars could get you.
I, so like the thing that kind of gets me is, you know, they investigate into Jontay Porter, and it's just kind of like, oh, I can't believe he'd do this, or blah blah blah. And it's like he's probably the what, 12th case, player case that we've heard of, maybe less than 10.
Oh yeah, I mean, like there's, I mean, there's were a bunch of NFL players like right off the bat.
Yeah, but like these people aren't the only one. That's the thing.
Well, I mean,
Now,
like you had the Ohtani stuff happening like this week or.
I think the issue is that he was dumb about it. Like
Well, I mean.
if you're going to be smart about it, you can't bet huge amounts,
But
and
I
they
also
can't
think
go
that, like,
back and
I don't
look
think
at
that's
the
the issue.
evidence.
I think the issue, I don't think, I think the issue is that he did it. I don't think the issue is that he got caught.
Okay, so you think the issue is that he just flat out did it anyways?
Yeah,
Like he
like,
stole
because,
it
like,
on
you've now
purpose.
created, you've, you, yeah, well, like, you've created, well, I don't know that necessarily, but, like, one of them is, like, an eye injury was aggravated on, like that night that he played. So, like, okay, so he knows he's not like feeling great. So then he's like, oh, well, I gotta come out now. I'm getting close to the point totals or whatever. I mean, not
Yeah.
that like you do that in 4 minutes, but whatever it is, like, even if you are like a player that's not that good or whatever it is, like, you still, like, I just think for like the integrity of the sport you play, that is a bad look. And
Well, what
because,
do you
like, there's already, before there was gambling involved in sports, and there always has been gambling in sports, but before it was like a nationally like legalized thing, everybody always talked about, everybody would always be like, oh, it was rigged or whatever, you know, the Donaghy stuff, like the 2002 like Kings and Lakers stuff and all that. Like, everybody always talks about this stuff, and now it's just like, oh yeah, we're all, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's kind of, I'm not saying that guys should, you know, be betting on it all the time or something like that, but I mean, we as fans, like not me personally, but you know, you hear all the time about people who lost a bet because a guy, you know, they had five and a half, over five and a half rebounds, whatever, ends with five. And they
Right.
tweet or message or whatever, like death threats to these professional players. Like, why couldn't you get one more rebound? Blah, blah, blah. So it's like,
Yeah, I just lost my mortgage.
if you're going to make it this public, the players are going to be very aware of it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so to me, there is already an innate
They can't
kind
watch
of,
another basketball game without hear without it being in their face the whole time.
well, I mean, it kind of leads to the point like maybe they shouldn't be gambling on it, but they know what their line is, quote unquote, right?
Oh yeah, there's no way to not be aware of it. You turn it on and it's across the bottom of the screen the whole time.
Yeah. So it's like whether they're consciously or actually betting or not, or just telling their buddy, hey, you know, I'm not feeling too great about tonight, or, oh, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. I felt pretty good this morning. Maybe they're doing a lot. Maybe that's what players are doing more, is more of like insider trading kind of stuff into what their game might look like. But I just don't think you can be like a fan upset at Jontay Porter doing this when you yourself are upset at players all the time. Like tonight, Draymond Green got ejected in the first 4 minutes against the Orlando Magic. And I saw people tweeting at FanDuel asking them to void their bets on Draymond Green. And it's just like, why would they void them? It's action. I even quote tweeted it and just as a joke and said, check his FanDuel account, right? Like, this is just kind of what's going to happen now. And so I just, whether we like it or not, it's just kind of a part of it. Whether they
Do you
profit
think
on
Steph
it or
was
not,
crying because he had bet on the Draymond over?
Yes, like he had bet like on over Draymond stuff, and he was out in 4 minutes. And it's just like this is kind of part of sports now. Everybody's aware of it. Players are aware of it. And whether I think the gray area is whether should players be betting on it or not, right? Should they be betting on themselves? I mean, I would rather want to play a guy who's betting on himself to go over his stuff, you know, than someone who's going under, right? Because he's obviously going to give max effort, and especially in the NBA where you got 82 games, like that's kind of a you'd feel more safer as a bettor if a guy was doing that. Like you'd never hear about it, so you wouldn't know, but maybe you could tell by he's maybe playing, you know, his butt off in February when most people are kind of taking it easy for All-Star break. But it's just like it's that gray area where we're not going to be able to ever really find a solution to, right? Like, should players be banned or not? The NBA has clearly stated that they shouldn't be for the quote unquote integrity of the game. But those people, all those players know what their lines are. Like, they just know. Like, they probably wake up in the morning and have somebody tell them. You know, maybe it's a motivational thing for them, right? Like, oh, Jimmy Butler or something, for example, just throwing out an example out there. Oh, I'm playing the Hawks tonight and they only got me at 21 and a half points. I'm gonna score 30 against those fools, you know? So I don't know if there's, you know, the more I think about it, like, I think I would punish players who were intentionally doing what Jonte did, right? Fade his unders. I honestly would probably not have too much of a problem with a guy betting on himself and playing his overs. I guess the problem with that is like you just would never know if he's actually doing that, right? Because he's not going to be out there saying, "Hey guys, I'm playing all my overs." You know, everybody would jump on board. But it's just like I think it's because more of the fact that he was playing the unders on his props and him selling and like going out of games on purpose that is hurting the quote unquote integrity. Then he probably gets away with it if he's doing the overs, which they probably did the unders because he doesn't play a ton to actually maybe get those unders. So they felt like the unders
Well,
were
and if you're
safer.
injured or something like that, you can control that. Oh, I feel, you know, my kidneys hurt. My ass feels bad today. I can't go.
The Dwight Howard. I don't know. I don't know where you go with that one. But like would you say it's just safer to say you shouldn't do it at all? Right?
No, I would say like in an ideal world, like just don't like the players aren't gambling on anything that has to do with like if you're an NBA player, you're not gambling on the NBA.
But in reality, we know it's going to happen. It's probably happening all over the league currently. Just no one was as, you know, dumb as Jonte Porter was about it. Or he had some friend who's just like, oh, I'm going to make a quick 5 G's off Jonte Porter. No one would ever bet this. Like he was just dumb. We know there's got to be tons of, well, maybe not tons, but there's a good amount of NBA players who are betting on themselves, or at least telling their mom and dad, you know, or their uncle or their high school friend, you know, they're doing something. So it's a part of it, and we can complain about it, but it's going to be around. It's not going anywhere. The only thing it does is this partnership, I don't think hurts players. But what do you think about it hurting the specific leagues more? Because if there is, you know, it comes out after fact, a big scandal like, you know, the Astros were cheating or whatever, stealing signs. Like if there is a, you know, NBA finals where a team kind of, or a guy for a finals team after the fact, we find out tossed the series. I mean, do you think that affects the player more, or do you think that general partnership is going to hurt the league more?
I think that the partnership is going to hurt the league more overall than it's going to. I mean, like, it's going to generate a lot of revenue for all the like cable companies and stuff like that, I guess.
Right.
But as much as people are going to watch it, but I don't know. I don't know. I think it's going to
Yeah.
end up, this is just going to be like, I think this is just going to continue to be like a thing that comes up over and over and over again. And it's going to be par for the course until people are just like, until everything's professional wrestling.
That's an interesting point because that's what, you know, I don't want to go too much farther down this kind of rabbit hole, but like, because that's kind of the thing as we're talking it out that kind of hits me as we go is the deterioration of, you know, fandom even more than what it is to just highlight culture to where just a big corner of your market is guys watching lines or, you know, a certain prop bet or games, you know. Do you think it has the
Right.
ability to erode the actual core fan base of certain leagues, especially the NBA, which is already behind like the NFL, maybe a little above, you know, baseball, but you know, they're so behind the NFL anyways for all their ratings. So do you think it could erode that kind of core diehard NBA fan to where now we have a generation where like young kids are already talking about, you know, gambling lines and odds and stuff like that. Does that hurt the league? Is that too far in the future? Or do you think we're going to start to see a slow deterioration of that?
Yeah, I think the fandom, like what you're saying, it's exactly right. Like, I think that stuff is like just gonna slowly continue deteriorating. Because, like, you think about like when people be like, "Well, why would you play fantasy football?" Well, when my team's not playing, it gives me something that I can like pay attention to in the games, and it makes everything more interesting for me. Well, like, eventually, if you're just betting on everything, then like you start to like not care as much about your team at all too, because because everything else has money tied to it.
Right.
So at a certain point, like all you care about is like what your bets and stuff are. And I mean, like, I feel like professional gambler is a thing that you see more of on social media, but I feel like it is like still not that common a thing
Right.
to be successful at it. And I think that's something that like people forget, because gambling can be fun.
Right. It can be fun if done correctly, right?
Yeah, if you like have a, it's just like anything. Like if you like to go to the movies or whatever, like you can have fun doing that. But like if you give up your the entire rest of your life to just go to the movie theater all the time, then like you probably should stop going to the movies and like go visit your wife and kids.
Your
It doesn't
wife and
matter
your
if it's
own
movies, if it's
children.
gambling, or if you have like a cereal addiction. Like if you're just like are if you're spending all your time on that one thing and none of it with and not interacting with any other part of your life, probably bad, and you're probably not going to be able to pay your bills.
Yeah, it's a great point because I think it's, you know, maybe I think my, you know, kind of at the end of all this discussion here, and we're going to move on, but it's going to be around. But just because, you know, you might have a couple players or, you know, even a whole team doing something, I don't know if it means that the whole thing is bad, right? Maybe those people just have particular problems or they just need it out of necessity. Like, there's multiple different reasons. My interest more lies in how does it affect the overall product, right? And I just don't, I'm just not sure where it goes. So it'll be something to monitor. But I think the next story that we have that will be Jontay Porter-like would not be a reason to say, oh, the league has a huge problem, which I think is kind of the thing that's come out of this is like, oh, the league has a huge problem with all this integrity, with all these partnerships, you know. I anytime I have anything that people enjoy or do or in some sort of involved, there's always going to be abuse of something. Doesn't necessarily mean that it is like a bad organization if they have one bad player, right? I am just curious where it goes. So there's not a great way to end that segment. It's more kind of like an open conversation between us. So it's something that maybe we can kind of build off of in the future. But let's get to the final thing. We went longer than what I thought we were going to be. We took the whole time I thought we were going to do the whole episode for just one thing. Yeah. But the other one is the aggregation of aggregation, which is, you know, I would have said 14 years ago or so that Bill Simmons would have been one of my favorite writers or podcast people just for his takes. And as time has gone on, he's become one of my least favorite. But the only reason I will listen to The Ringer now is if Ryan Russillo is on something, or his podcast, or if he has a guest that I'm interested in. And that's really about it, because I think, you know, Bill Simmons has kind of fallen off a cliff, and I just don't enjoy. He just doesn't seem like he is into it anymore, right? Like, yeah, he did his job. He's rich. Like, he doesn't have to do the work anymore. And it comes up.
Right.
So they had a segment on an episode, either last episode before, where they're talking about who is the team that they would want for the next 6 years to end out the rest of the 2020s. So, of course, the first thing they mention is the Denver Nuggets, which got me to be like, okay, the Nuggets for 6 years, okay. And then number two, I think Bill Simmons said the Spurs because of Wembanyama.
Yep.
And so then my alarm bells started going off here, because I was like, okay, is this going to be an entire segment where the Grizzlies are not even going to be mentioned? And then that became the case, because I think Minnesota was mentioned after that by Russillo, and that was just because Anthony Edwards. And then I think the Thunder were mentioned, and then I don't remember where they landed with the fifth team. I thought there was a mention of the Houston Rockets and the Pelicans, maybe. I can't remember 100%, because I kind of turned it off after that when I knew they weren't going to mention the Grizzlies, because I thought that is just so backwards from where this team should be placed. So to aggregate off of them, and maybe we're not going to do our that list, but we can do that. I mean, would the Grizzlies the next 6 years? So let's say you're a GM. There's no GMs at all these NBA franchises. You get the pick of the tops, you know, whatever job you want. For you, where do the Grizzlies make it on that list? Are they on the short list? Are they top 10? Are they top 15? I mean, is it because of the job situation?
To be one of the teams in the West, they'd have to be top 15. I would take, I think they're one of the top five teams in the West for the next 5 years that I would take.
What about the whole league? Like, the idea of the Denver Nuggets, you'd want the Denver Nuggets for the next 6 years. I mean, Jokic is what, 28, Murray, 27, 6 or 7. Like, KCP's not getting any younger. Aaron Gordon's probably 28. Like, you want
those?
I'd say
the Grizzlies are probably in the top 10.
Top 10. So you wouldn't have them top five. You agree with those, with them.
Well, they were just talking about in the West.
Okay. So even if it's just the West, they're not even in their top five in the West.
They're not in their top five in the West. I would say they're top five in the West for me. But if you're going through the whole league, and I'd say top 10 in the league. Because, like, if you go through the whole league, like, I don't know, like, moving forward, like, bright future stuff, like, I'm saying, like, Celtics, Nuggets, like, Timberwolves, Bucks, and probably, like, the Knicks are, like, the top five.
The Knicks and the Bucks? Really? For the next 6 years?
Oh, I forgot it was the next 6 years. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, definitely not next year. Thunder.
Definitely the Thunder.
Yeah, see, Bucks out of there. See, to me, the only one that you could say that for the next 6 years Like, I get the Nuggets, but
the Mavs.
Like, there's a 2 or 3 window with the Nuggets, right? We know this at the current age they're at. Like, they're not going to be the same in 6 years, let alone 3.
But Jokic is only like 29.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, their team is going to be vastly different. You don't know if they're going to be the same quality, better. Jokic is awesome. That is agreed. But, like, if I'm picking who do I want player for the next 6 years, yeah, I probably want Jokic.
Right, and the Nuggets have him. The Nuggets have Jokic. So, yeah, and the Nuggets have Jokic, and Jokic is the number one player that I want for the next 6 years. So the Nuggets are on that list because they have the best guy in the league for the next 6 years.
Well, he may not be the best player for the next 6 years, but that's the thing. It's the team. And who has a better construct for the next year?
I'm still taking the Nuggets because you know who makes every single player better that ever plays with him? Jokic. Aaron Gordon. No one could figure out what the fuck Aaron Gordon was until he started playing with Jokic. And now all of a sudden everyone's like, man, Aaron Gordon's a really nice complimentary piece. It doesn't matter what the fuck you do. You could be a coal miner and you could show up on the Nuggets. And Jokic would be dropping alley-oops to you left and right. And you wouldn't have to work that hard for him. All you got to do is play defense and move around, and you're gonna and the ball will find you. You're gonna get yours. So yeah, the Nuggets number one
for me. Like if you were just talking, like obviously both have to be a factor, right? But player and team organization. But if you're talking the next 6 years. I just don't understand how 1-2 aren't Thunder Grizzlies. Like, I just don't. Like, the core of them, like, Boston in 6 years, you don't know what's, like, obviously Drew Holiday's not going to be there. Porzingis is out. Horford's out.
Yeah, then but you have Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum.
They're probably on the list, right, just because of those two.
Right.
But they're going to go through cap hell immediately. So, is there going to be a 2 or 3 year thing? Like, I get the Timberwolves thing. Like, you're picking Ant, the same reason why you're picking Jokic, because you like the player by himself. But Rudy Gobert is not going to age gracefully. Karl Anthony Towns probably going to be traded. And so, like, I just don't get it. Like, how is this team, especially now? Now, I missed that part, it was just the West. Especially just being the West, how are they not on a top five list? Like how? Like how do you have the Pelicans above them? The Pelicans have never won 50 games with that core. This is like the first time Zion's played 50 plus games in his entire career. Well, I think he played 50 plus games his second year, if I remember that correctly.
I can tell you how you get to that logic.
Like, you're picking Mavs because of Luka. That's it. You're picking the Wolves because of
and Kyrie.
You're picking
and
Nuggets.
Kyrie, he hasn't done anything crazy. But I do think I can see how you get to that logic. But no, listen to me. I can see how you would get to that logic with the Grizzlies because of this. Because the Grizzlies were doing really well last year, and they self-destructed. They did it to themselves. So what the Grizzlies have to do before anybody thinks the Grizzlies are going to be awesome is they have to just not fuck it up for 1 year. And this year isn't the year because they're 24 and 48. They're dealing with the consequences of last year. So until the Grizzlies stop proverbially shooting themselves in the foot,
right?
They're probably not going to be on a lot of lists like this. And they're terrible this year. So it's not one of those. So like if you're like, well, you know who's really good? The Grizzlies, like, well, it just isn't that exciting to talk about.
But
like,
that's
yeah,
not
they're all
the
hurt.
Exercise.
There's not anything that you can talk. I know that's not the exercise, but I'm just saying, I don't have $1 billion worth of podcasts. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Bill Simmons is picking the Spurs, who are awful just because of Wembanyama.
Right. Which I get that. I mean, like, maybe, like, yeah, if it's like the next
I
6 years.
I get the idea, but it's like the next 6 years, like the Spurs. Most of those rebuilds take 5 to 6 years.
Right.
Like, there's a higher likelihood the Spurs still suck or are starting to turn it around, you know, the last 2 years or 3 years of the decade, right? Like 2027. Right. The Grizzlies, their core three has been ready to go. 50 wins the past 2 seasons. Last year was a disaster. We know that. This year was a disaster. We know that. But they're 25 and 24. Like, you're telling me you don't want that team all the way through its 30s hitting its prime? Like, how is that not in your top five, let alone your top three
Well, you also have to consider
in the
you
Western
also have to
Conference?
consider the years leading up to year six.
I think that's the only thing that you could say. Like, if, like, that's
That you
why
have to count
that's
all the
why
years?
I thought it should be mentioned. No, it's because Bill Simmons, I think, is just, he's not thinking about the future, right? He's just thinking about the best player, what that best
Well,
player's
yeah.
future could be.
But think
But
about this
the
in the
thing that,
NBA. If the team that has the best player in a series typically wins the series, if that team can put
right?
themselves in a position to be in the playoffs, then not any one of those teams that they listed, but any team that has like a player like that, like a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or like Anthony Edwards, Ja Morant, like those guys, like a team that has a
Right.
player like that, if any of those teams win a championship, doesn't that make them a team you want in the next, any team that wins a championship in the next, is potentially could win a championship in the next 6 years, isn't that the team you want? Because if you, because think about it, not, and I'm not saying, I'm talking from a pure fan perspective. I'm not talking about
Right.
from like, I own the franchise, I'm on the team. I'm talking about if you're a fan of the Grizzlies, Timberwolves, Oklahoma City Thunder, Zombie Sonics, whatever you want to call them. These are like the teams that we just talked about are teams that haven't won titles, right? At least not
Right.
in the time that you and I have been alive.
Right.
So
As currently constructed.
for any of those teams to win a title, that would be that it wouldn't matter what happened the next 5 or 6 years. If any of those teams wins a title this year or next year, it doesn't matter what's happening the next five years. You're riding that into the sunset. You can't do anything wrong after that. It's like LeBron. Everyone hates LeBron until he brings a title back to Cleveland, and now like everyone's like, oh yeah, we've always liked LeBron. LeBron over Jordan, yeah, I didn't burn his jersey.
I get that, but I don't think they were thinking that way. And I think that's why I have a problem with it.
Well, no, but
because,
I'm just
I mean,
making that like,
yeah, like saying that you want the Spurs for the next 6 years because Wembanyama is good. Look, I agree. Wembanyama is good. Is he going to be really good? Yeah, I would assume so. Like, he's a freak of nature. But just to say I would want that franchise for the next 6 years with 75-year-old Greg Popovich and equally as old GM or whoever president that is, I can't remember who it is, but I'm not choosing that over what the Grizzlies have ready to go for the next 6 years. I get the player, but I kind of have a problem with the taking the team because of the single player as who you'd want for the next 6 years. And it, like, I just, it doesn't make sense to me. And I didn't understand why they were just left off like that, because it was wrong. It was wrong to put the Pelicans as someone that you would rather have. It's just flat wrong to put the Spurs as someone that you would rather have the next 6 years going forward in the Grizzlies. And I mean, the only argument I think you can make is like the Grizzlies might just be a foul prone team, like, or foul, but injury prone team. Like, this franchise just might be snake bitten injury wise. Like, Jaws missed games, Baines missed games, Jaren's basically missed whole seasons. Like, that's the only thing I think you could say about this. If you were actually diving into this and saying why you wouldn't want the Grizzlies for the next 6 years, is just that alone, right? This was such a devastating injury year for this team that it's almost unprecedented. And to me, that could be your only thing to say you wouldn't want them, because that is something underlying to me. Now, Jaw stuff was, you know, off the court related, but he did get hurt out of the season almost immediately. So I don't know if there's something underlying there, but that to me is the only reason why they wouldn't be a top three team, specifically in the West, who you wouldn't want for the next 6 years of your franchise as like a GM or whatever. So yeah, I don't know if you have any closing thoughts on that, but that was kind of my, like, that was my kind of like question mark. Like, what are we talking about? The Pelicans for 6 years? Come on. What planet are we
Yeah.
on?
I don't know, maybe they had just eaten a bunch of beignets.
Well, that will wrap us up for this week. You got anything you need to plug or shout out? Sneaky
Nah,
D?
man. Not anything from Sneaky D this week. But I might hit you up next week and you wouldn't even know it.
It's nice to be back together again, sir, and talking about the NBA. So we are back full bore in NBA. Not, you know, we're not, we're gonna be talking about the playoffs and the final kind of standings and teams we like coming up. We didn't want to do, you know, we didn't want to light all of our gasoline stock on fire and have a huge blaze, but hopefully this is a good long episode where hopefully it was, I don't know if thought provoking is the right thing, but maybe we said something interesting to kind of, maybe not necessarily get some comments, but you know, maybe have a little bit different perspective, or at least just kind of like an open forum that we've had here tonight. So, Cody, good to see you again, man. I'll see you probably next
You
week, and
too.
everybody else have a good week watching the NBA.
And always remember,
you don't chew Big Red, then you.